Praise the Lord, everyone. Just want to give the Lord praise and honor for another opportunity for us just to gather together in this forum, to be able to lift up holy hands and to be able to hear the word of the Lord. The word is what gives us life, and the word is what will direct our paths from day to day. And so we just want to give thanks to the Lord, greet my pastor, Pastor James, his beautiful wife and family, our assistant pastor, Minister Michael Hansen, all the elders, missionaries, evangelists, all of the brethren, and especially for those visiting with us this morning, I salute you and I bless you in the name of the Lord. Today, I just would like for us just to look into the Word of God. And if we could turn to the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. Praise God. And we'll read from the NLT version. And we'll start at verse 1 and proceed to verse 13. Bless the Lord. And it reads, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them. And all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you are standing strong, then be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Praise the Lord. We give God thanks for his word today. And if I could speak to you from a topic this morning. The topic will be lost in transition. Lost in transition. Now, when we speak of transition, the dictionary defines transition as the process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. It's the passage from one stage, from one state, or one subject or place to another. So when we speak of transition, we are speaking of change. We're speaking of progress. We're speaking of movement. And transitions are quite interesting because they require a lot of focus. Transitions require a lot of attention. Because during transitions, it's often difficult to remain attentive to the goal that's at hand. During transitions, it's oftentimes uncomfortable and we'll feel discomfort. I can think of transition for mothers in the first 9 months as they are transitioning a new life into the world. At times, there are so many changes that are happening to their body. And oftentimes it's difficult to adjust. I can recall when we were expecting our first child, and that was indeed a great transition for us. And as my wife grew with child, I remember her sleeping habits changed. And as we would lay there in bed, there were times when I became her pillow, right? During transition, I became a human pillow because of the discomfort that transition had brought. I recall there were times where she would look at herself and recognize that her body was changing. And oftentimes, if a woman is not remembering that at some point in time, there's something great that's going to be delivered from their body, some can get trapped in that transition period and be wanting their figure to go back to what it used to be. But during the transition, it's so important that they recognize my body is going through a change for a purpose, and I have to accommodate the transition because what's inside of me requires me to make adjustments. It requires me to feed this body. It requires me to change sometimes my dietary habits. I have to change some of the foods that I eat because whatever I eat is what the life inside of me receives. And so during that transition, I can recall that, you know, her diet changed, the food changed. She was a lot more cautious of what she ate. She was a lot more cautious of how she positioned herself, a lot more cautious of her health because she was in transition. And so transition is a very important thing for us as believers because it's oftentimes in transition where we can lose our way. It's oftentimes in transition where we can become discouraged. And as to reflect back on the transition of a mother as she's with child, the time when she comes to that period where she's about to give birth, things can change so rapidly. Things can happen in such a quick succession of time, can go from just enjoying the day, enjoying the weather, to contractions coming all of a sudden that can happen so quickly that your body doesn't even know how to react. And during that time of transition, it's so important to focus on the delivery. It's so important to focus on the fact that what is about to happen is what was planned to happen, and I must be ready for it. And I remember, you know, just in the waiting room or in the hospital room for our first child, as she would go through those contractions, and as the baby was making his way down the birth canal, I recall those contractions, just seeing my wife in pain. And I remember her sister was there with her, working with her as a great midwife, and telling her that it's just for a moment, just breathe. Just breathe. It's just almost like a wave. It's going to pass. Just focus. Don't get caught in the pain. Don't get caught in the intensity of what you're feeling, but recognize that this is just for a moment and soon this child will be delivered. And so during that transition period, it was important for my wife to keep her focus and her attention on what was to come, not to be trapped in that moment, not to be overcome by what she was feeling, but to know that it was only a matter of time before the promise or the expectation was delivered to her. And so transitions are very important for us to reflect on. We are currently in a great time of transition. The world has just transitioned into a season that we have never seen before. We've transitioned into a time where many people were not ready for what has come on the world and what is about to come. And so as we are in this season of transition, it's important for us to look now to the scriptures, because the scriptures outlines for us the transition of many of the children of God and gives us detailed accounts of how they endured their transition, their failures, and their successes. And so as we looked at the scripture this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to be sharing a number of scripture verses and just taking my time to speak about this. The scripture says that as the children of Israel were traveling from Egypt, we know that God visited the children of Israel in Egypt and he heard their cry. And when he heard their cry, he was moved with compassion and he remembered the promise that he gave to their forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And God sent them a deliverer in the person of Moses. And as Moses prepared the people to leave Egypt, he prepared their minds for the transition. He explained to them that we're going to be leaving and we have to leave quickly. He explained to them that, listen, when we leave, there's no time to delay. This transition out of Egypt is going to be a quick one for the first part. And so you have to be ready, have your clothes ready, and be ready that when it's time to leave, there is no one hitching, there is no one delaying. We're going to be heading straight towards the wilderness. And the Bible tells us that they entered into the just at the cusp of the Red Sea, and their slave master Pharaoh came with his men and his chariots looking to bring them back into bondage. But during this time of transition, the children of Israel were afraid and they were frightened, and they began to cry out to Moses, and Moses bowed down on the ground and he cried to God. And God said, listen to me, Moses, this is a time of transition. There is no time for you to become defeated. There's no time for you to become weary or to become afraid. He says, look at your hand. What do you have in your hand? And as Moses looked, he saw the rod that God gave him. He says, this rod that I've given to you, it is effective for transition. Lift up your rod and put it over, stretch it over the waters of the Red Sea. And as Moses lifted up that rod, that figure of authority, the scripture says that the Red Sea opened up and God allowed the children of Israel to transition through the Red Sea on dry land. And as they went through, the scripture teaches us that they were all baptized to Moses in the sea and in the cloud. And there was a cloud that was guiding them by day. And there was a light that was guiding them by night. And so their transition was one that was furnished with preparation. They were given everything that they needed to move forward. And as Moses stretched out his hand, the waters parted. And they were able to make their transition from Egypt into the wilderness. And as they got into the wilderness, the scripture says that that when they got into the wilderness, they went through some difficult times. They went for 3 days not finding any water. And then when they got to a place called Marah, where they found water, the water was bitter. And they could not drink it because of how bitter the water was. And so as they began to drink the waters and recognize When they looked around, they didn't see anything else in sight. They began to cry out. And they began to complain to Moses, how have you brought us here in the wilderness to die? And so Moses spoke to God, and God gave Moses the solution. He said, now look over there. And when Moses looked up, he saw a piece of wood. And he said, now take that wood and put it into the waters. And when you do so, the waters will be healed. And so Moses took the wood and put it into the waters, and the waters were healed, and the children of Israel were able to drink. And this was a great sign and a great figure of the commandment that Jesus gave concerning baptism. And he said, now, once you put the wood in the waters, the waters would be healed. And so for us as believers, when the wood, when the cross of Jesus is placed into the watery grave, and when we are baptized into Christ, the waters of death, the waters of sin, no longer hold us captive, no longer are bitter to our soul, but they are sweetened. And so we go down into the name of Jesus Christ, into those bitter waters. And when we come back up, we rise in newness of life. And so the scripture teaches us that as they traveled, as they transitioned through the wilderness, the spiritual rock traveled with them. But the Bible says to us that although God traveled with them, although they had water at their disposal, although he fed them, the Bible says that with many of them, God was not pleased. Why was he not pleased? Number one, they craved evil things. When we look in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, we can read, as it is on the screen. The scripture says, soon the people began to complain about their hardship, and the Lord heard everything they said. Then the Lord's anger blazed against them, and he sent a fire to rage among them, and he destroyed some of the people in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people screamed to Moses for help. And when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped. After that, the area was known as Taberah, which means the place of burning, because fire from the Lord had burned among them there. Then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. Oh, for some meat, they exclaimed. Verse 5, we remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt. And we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. We skip down to verse 33. But while they were gorging themselves on the meat, while it was still in their mouths, the anger of the Lord blazed against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. Verse 34. So that place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, which means graves of gluttony, because they buried the people who had craved meat from Egypt. And so we see here that the children of Israel, although God was providing for them in the wilderness, he had been given them manna, bread from heaven. He was feeding them day after day, taking care of their needs. He was taking care of their dietary needs from day to day without fail. But yet, when they got to this place, they began to murmur against God, and they began to crave evil things. They began to look at what God had provided for them and to say, we don't want this anymore. We recall, we remember when we were in Egypt, we had cucumbers, we had melons, we had leeks, we had onions. We remember those things from the Garden of Egypt. Although we were oppressed, although we were in bondage and it was tough and our life was so strenuous and we could hardly sleep at night because of how much fatigue our body was under, how much pressure we were under. Although we remember all of the anguish, what we're looking at now is the food. We remember how good it was. And now what you are providing, God, just can't seem to compare to what we remember having in Egypt. And so this fleshly desire began to take hold of them in the wilderness. And while they're in transition to a place where the Lord says there's going to be melons, there's going to be cucumbers, there's going to be honey, there is going to be grapes, all the thing that your souls that could desire will be there in abundance, where you won't have to eat it with oppression. You won't have to eat your bread with affliction. You won't have to worry about clocking in every day and working overtime because of the Egyptian, because the taskmaster decides that he wants more money to come in so he could feed his family. You won't have to worry about that in Canaan. But in transition, can you be satisfied with what is provided? In transition, are you able to focus on your needs and not your wants? In this time of pandemic, can we focus on the things that are necessary for us instead of those things we had before? And so God is watching them. He's looking at their desire. And so I would encourage us to watch our desires as we are in transition, as we are moving from one place to another in God, from faith to faith. Watch your craving for evil things. Some cravings may not be necessarily for food, but it may be a craving for attention. You may be craving the attention of others. Why don't they notice me? Why don't they call me? Why don't they post about me? Why don't they spend more time talking about me? Maybe you may be craving some love from your partner. You may be craving something, and because you're not getting it, you resort to other means. You begin to do things that are out of character. You begin to do things that you know you shouldn't be doing. What is it that you're craving in this hour? What is it that your soul is longing for? While Christ has given you a promise that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I am your provision, what else are you craving? Because what you're craving is going to cause the thing that God has prepared for you to become loathsome, to become disgusting. You start to look at it and it becomes an offense. I don't want this anymore. What is it that you are craving in this hour? Are you craving to be extolled and exalted? Are you craving to for a greater position or status? Are you craving more money? Are you looking to have more comfort during this time? Are you craving the wealth and riches that the world has to offer? Whatever you're craving is going to cause you to despise what the Lord is providing. And so in this time of transition, focus on your cravings. Look at what you're craving to ensure that it is in line with your calling. Is your craving in line with your calling? And so we look to the second problem that they experienced. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says to us that they worshiped idols. And when we look in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and verses 1 to 4, as Moses had left and the Lord had called Moses up into the mountain to receive the commandments, to receive the words of the covenant that the children of Israel should live by, they were instructed to wait as he traveled up the mountain. And the problem with this instruction is that Moses didn't tell them how long he'd be gone. Neither did he know. But God said, just come up. And oftentimes we are caught while in transition in a period of waiting. And oftentimes we look at that period of waiting and the period of delay, and we are expecting something to happen sooner. And when we grow weary of waiting, we oftentimes become idle. And there's a reason why when people become idle, they resort to idols. It's because our hearts have inside of us a desire to worship, a desire to revere something, something greater than ourselves. And so the scripture says that when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. We want leadership. We want someone who can lead us to the place that we're planning to go to. We don't want what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So Aaron said, take the gold rings from the ears of your wives and sons and daughters and bring them to me. All the people took the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. When the people saw it, they exclaimed, O Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so while they are in transition, while they're waiting for Moses to return, Moses has ascended into the mountain, into the presence of God. And they're saying, we don't want what happened to Moses to happen to us. Moses is seeing God in his glory. Moses is receiving the words of life. And they, because of their ignorance, because they have not sought out diligently what is happening, because of their lack of faith, they now begin to think evil thoughts. They begin to think that Moses has perished, that Moses is gone, the legacy is done, his mission is abandoned, and now we need a new Moses. And so they create Moses in the form of calves. And they said, now this is going to be our God that will lead us into the promised land. And because they became idle, because they were not patient, they did not believe the word of God, they did not learn how to be patient in transition, they became idle in the process and created their own idols. And so now it was these idols that God became angry with. Because God said, did these idols bring you out of Egypt? I purchased you. I was the one that came down into Egypt. I was the one that heard your cry. I responded to you when you were suffering, when you were crying out, when you couldn't handle the pressure anymore. I was the one that came down and delivered you with my own arm. With my own right hand, I delivered you out of Egypt. I was the one that paid a ransom for you and took you out of your misery. And I was the one that declared that there is no other God beside me. There is no other God that was working with me. There was no calf. There was no dragon. There was no bird. There was no four-footed beast. It was me alone that brought you out of Egypt. And that's why I can make a demand on you. I can make a claim on you. I can make a commandment to wait upon me. If I brought you out of Egypt,
Don't you think that I know what I'm doing? If I took you out of Pharaoh's house and I made a promise, can't you wait a little time? 40 days is the time of testing for you, because I want to know what's in your heart. What's happening while you are waiting in your transition period? When you don't see the things that you are looking for, when you haven't received the answer to your prayer, when you're expecting to move forward, but you can't because the cloud is settled still. The cloud has not lifted yet. Where are you going without the cloud? Has the Lord told you to start that business? Has the Lord told you to start that relationship? Did he tell you to start speaking to that woman? Did he tell you to start speaking to that man? Whose church have you been going to during the pandemic? How many meetings on Zoom have you been joining during the pandemic? When the cloud said, stay behind the cloud, when the Lord said, stay behind the cloud to us in January, are we remaining behind the cloud? Or are we so eager to see some change? We want to get back into the physical assembly. We want to get back into the church with the four walls so we can enjoy what life used to be like. Are we trying to go back while thinking we're moving forward? Wait behind the cloud. The Lord is doing something with his servant Moses. We may not understand what he's doing. We may not understand why he's taking so long. Why, Moses, are you taking so long? Because I'm receiving the words that will give you life, that will give your generations to come life, that will give all that are called by my name and who come out of your loins life. But you must be patient in the transition. And so because they created idols, they became restless. And we have to be careful when we become restless, because it's when we become restless that we become innovative, and we begin to innovate and create things that are going to become problems for us in the long run. And so after creating these calves, many of them died. When Moses came down, he instructed that all of the idols were smashed and scattered, crushed and scattered into the water, into the river. And then he made those who wanted those idols drink them. Drink of your idols. Let those things that you wanted consume you. Digest them, because it's those same idols, those same things that you look to for your help are the same things that are going to destroy your health. And so we have to keep our minds focused during transition. Praise the Lord. The next thing that happened to the children of Israel is they engaged in sexual immorality. Numbers 25 and verse 1 speaks to us. And this is particularly important lesson during transition. Because during transition, many times we lose sight of the importance of purity. And purity is so important during the transition process, because the scripture says it's the pure in heart that shall see God. David said, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall stand in thy holy hill? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And so on our way to Canaan, on our way to the promised land, the inheritance that the Lord has promised us, for us, it's a heavenly calling. We have to ensure that we are keeping ourselves pure and unspotted from the world. And so chapter 25 and verse 1, praise the Lord. It says, while the Israelites were camped at Acacia Grove, some of the men defiled themselves by having sexual relations with local Moabite women. These women invited them
to attend sacrifices to their gods. So the Israelites feasted with them and worshiped the gods of Moab. In this way, Israel joined in the worship of Baal of Peor, causing the Lord's anger to blaze against his people. We scroll down, and it says in verse 9, and verse 8, sorry, and I'll read from verse 8, and it's speaking of Phinehas, a son of Eleazar, who took a spear. And the scripture says, verse 8, and rushed after the man into his tent. Phinehas thrust the spear all the way through the man's body and into the woman's stomach. So the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but not before 24,000 people had died. And so we see through the sexual immorality, through the decisions to gratify the flesh, that 24,000 people died. And this is important for us to understand because Moses gave them instructions through the commandment of the Lord that as we travel through this place, through this wilderness, be careful that you do not join yourselves to any other of the, any other nations, because in so doing, they will allure you and entice you to commit fornication against the Lord, adultery, sorry, against the Lord, and to fall because of it. And so we see here that it was while they were camped at the Acacia Grove, while they were stationed, while they were in a stationary position, they weren't moving much now. And this is important for us to understand because the first time that they created this problem with idols was when they had to wait. Now we look another time where they were camped at the Acacia Grove. That means the cloud had settled and they were meant to remain there for a period of time. And the Lord allowed them to encamp at this place for a reason. And so while they were there, the Lord is expecting them to keep themselves pure. He's expecting them to keep themselves undefiled. And he had already given them commandment to ensure that they do not join with the woman of the other nations. But the woman came and invited them to attend sacrifices to their gods. And through these sacrifices, they committed adultery against God and defiled themselves. And we have to be careful during times when we are stationary, during times when the Lord is not causing us to move forward. But remember that we're still in transition, because during this period of time, he wants to test their purity. Will you remain pure? And so he allows these women to come around them. And he allows the women now to come and invite them, to entice them. But Israel was given the commandment that was able to preserve them. And during this time, when they're supposed to keep their minds in a place of purity, the enemy is coming to bring them into prostitution, coming to bring them into a place where they will now sell themselves short because they want to gratify a desire. And during a time when we are waiting on God, temptation becomes extremely difficult. It intensifies, because that's when now the enemy will come to entice us. It's while we're waiting. We don't have a wife yet. We don't have a husband yet. We don't know what's going to happen next. But during that time, the enemy will send different people our way. He will send different images. And now while they're stationed, all of these things are coming their direction. And we have to be careful while we are stationed in transition, what we are looking at, what we are enticed by. And now it's a time where many are on their devices.
and they're lonely. And because they're lonely, they spend so much more time on their devices. So much more time looking at images, looking at things that are defiling them, looking at things that are causing their souls to be corrupted. And it's because we're not moving much, because we're stationed there, that now all of these things are coming and they're enticing us. And so we have to be careful while we're stationed what we are looking at. What is it that we are focusing on from day to day during the pandemic? What is it that we are engaging in during this time where we are stationed, where we're not able to move about as freely as we would like? While we're stationed at the Acacia Grove, what is it that we are being drawn to? Watch those desires. Watch those fleshly lusts, because it is those lusts that the enemy is looking to hook onto. And you may think, no, I'm just going on Instagram just to see, you know, who's doing what and see, you know, who's posting what. But it is while we're stationed there. We didn't come to Acacia Grove to fall into sin. We may have gone onto to that device just to chat with our friend, just to see, you know, what someone else is doing. But while we are there, there are some spirits that are sent to entice, that are sent to grip our minds and to bring us into captivity. And so we have to watch over our body, because our body is under invasion at the Acacia Grove. Watch your fleshly desires. Paul says, after I preach to others, I gotta watch my own fleshly desires. I have to come under bring my body under subjection, because I recognize that there's gonna be an Acacia Grove. There's gonna be a time where I can't do much. There's gonna be a time where I gotta take a rest, and the Spirit of God is not bidding me to go into Macedonia. There's a time where I'm gonna have to sit down and take a little rest in another city, and I'm gonna have to wait there. But while I'm waiting, the enemy has sent so many messengers to buffet me in the flesh. But while that's happening, I must remain faithful. I must keep my body pure. Don't allow yourself to be joined to any of your fleshly desires while you are in transition. Praise the Lord. And as we continue to examine this transition process, the scripture says the next thing is that the Israelites did is they tempted the Lord by speaking against him. That's in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 9. And when we look the book of Numbers 21 and verses 4 to 6, praise the Lord. As we look at it, we see the scripture says in verse 4, then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey, and they began to speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complained. There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. And we see here that it was because the people grew impatient with the long journey that they began to speak against God and his servant Moses. And this is imperative for us to understand that while we're in transition, oftentimes the road and the journey will become difficult. There's going to be days where we are frustrated. There's going to be times where we can't understand why things have to be like this. God, why am I going through this situation? Why are my children so rebellious? God, why is it that these people at my job are harassing me? Why is it that my neighbor is constantly having these loud parties and constantly having all of these guests, and they're constantly causing disruptions in my neighborhood? Why is it, my Lord, that I'm going through this problem? Why is it that I can't seem to get a breakthrough? Why is it that my prayer seems to be returned every time I pray? Why is it, Lord Jesus, that I've been trying for so long, and I've been following you, and I've been seeking after you, but I can't seem to get a breakthrough? Why is it that this problem is still in my body, this health condition, this struggle? Why is it? And I become discouraged by the way. And this is so important for us to take heed and to reflect on, because it's during these times that we become tempted to murmur against God. We become tempted to complain. No one complains when things are going good. No one complains when they're enjoying the pleasures of life, when they have everything that they want. But it's when God withholds something from us that he gets to see, what is your heart made of? Is your heart a heart of gratitude? Is your heart a heart of thanksgiving? Or do you carry a heart of complaint and grumbling? And so the people grew impatient with the long journey. And impatient is such a killer of promise. It somehow seems to cause the promise to be abandoned. And it's not that the promise has left you, but it's that you have left the promise. And because impatience is now growing thick within your skin, you begin to abandon the things of God and now begin to complain and murmur against the way of God. But is there someone who will decide that though he slay me, yet will I trust him? Though my way is hard, though I don't understand where the money's going to come from. Lord, I feel like I've been in this wilderness for years. God, so many troubles, struggle after struggle. Israel felt like from one problem, it's just another problem. Why do I have to keep going through this, God? You already did this to us at Marah. And now we come now here. We've gone around Edom, and we're at the set out from Mount Hor, and we're still coming through with these same issues. Why can't there be a breakthrough? They become impatient and speak against God. But when we speak against God, there will always be a judgment inflicted. And we must recognize that it is our own tongue. You see, it's not necessarily the tongue of the serpents that was so dangerous. It was their tongue that poisoned their own spirits. It's because they spoke those words against God. How can you speak a word against God? When you're speaking against God, you're speaking against your very self, because it's God who has given you life. And so they spoke against the very breath that they breathe. And so that's why the serpents raised up. That's why those deadly venomous vipers showed up in the wilderness and attacked them. It's not because God was evil. It's not because God hated them. It's because they had to eat the fruit of their own doings. You don't want my manna, then you're going to eat your own poison. You don't want the bread that I provided for you, then you're going to eat the own filth that your mouth has provided. You must recognize that when you speak against God, you're speaking against your own soul. And when you speak against his servants, you're speaking against your own soul. And that soul will die. The soul that sins shall surely die. And so the serpent is a judgment that's inflicted by self. So we must recognize that during the transition process, we have to watch our tongue. Not only our flesh, not only our cravings, but we must watch our tongue. Because the tongue, the Bible says, is a deadly venom. Who can tame it? It's the most disobedient of all our members. Our tongue is full of poison. And so because of that, when our spirit, our soul gets bitter, then our tongue becomes poisonous. and brings destruction. And so that tongue that brought destruction, the serpents bit them until they died. And they cried to Moses and said, Moses, help us. We know we spoke against you, but we recognize the anointing that is upon you is the only thing that can save us. Moses, what should we do? Moses says, build a serpent out of brass and hold it up on a stick. And whosoever looks to that serpent will be saved. Jesus tells us that just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must also the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. He came into this sinful world, this world that was infested with the poison of men's tongue. He had to come down and take on the very nature of the sinner. He had to take on the very nature of the thing that killed man. He came and he knew no sin, but became sin. He took on the form of a servant. He took on the form and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin condemns sin in the body. And so those who look to Jesus, those who have killed their own selves, who have spoken against God and brought sin and destruction on their own lives, it is those that Jesus Christ has come to save. That although you may have killed yourself, if you look to me, I came and laid down my own life that you may have life, and that more abundantly. And so if you look to the one who was made in the image and made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but yet beyond it, he was not the serpent. Oh yes, when they lifted up that serpent, they made it out of brass, that thing that could not be destroyed. They furnished it out of brass. And so when Jesus came, although he came in a body that was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, there was no sin that corrupt that body. And so when they put that body to death, when they crucified that body and they left it, they took it off the cross, they expected that that would perish just like the serpents did in the wilderness. But when they put that body, hallelujah, into the grave, when they buried him and put him away for 3 days, because that serpent was not the same as the serpent in the wilderness, because that body was not the same body that the sinful Adam carried, when that body was in the grave, the scripture says that it was not possible that death could hold him. He could not be holding up death. He got up out of the grave 3 days later, and he says, I have all authority and all power, and those who look to me shall be saved. If there's someone today on the line who has sinned greatly, you're under the condemnation of your sin. You're under the burdensome and bitter poison of your sin. You're experiencing some pains in your body. You're experiencing some terrifying dreams at night. Yes, you open a door from your own mouth. You curse maybe the man of God. Maybe you spoke about his servants. But there is a body that is lifted up on the pole today. There is a savior for you today. If you look to him, you can be saved. One look will change your life. One look will wash your sins away. One look will deliver you from the power of death. But you must look. You can't look on your sin any longer. Stop wallowing in your sins. Stop wallowing in your mess. Stop wallowing in all of the mistakes you made and look to Jesus. Yes, you've been rejected. Yes, you've been put down. But don't look upon yourself any longer. Look to him who was lifted up, who was put upon the tree of Calvary. Look to him whose body, hallelujah, is a body that can endure crucifixion, that can endure the grave, who can raise up and have all power. It is that body that is going to clothe you, that if this body be dissolved, we have a body that is from the heavenly realm. We have a body that's not like this flesh and blood. We have a body that when we're clothed with it, we shall rise. We shall ascend to meet him in the clouds. Don't worry about what you've done, but focus on what Jesus has done, and you shall be healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Just lift your hands and praise the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For what he has done, for he has given you a way of escape. This is the wilderness we're in. We're in transition. We cannot afford to be lost in transition. The scripture says that so many of them died in transition. And so we are in a time where it is important for us to ensure that we keep our focus in transition. Praise the Lord. And many of them, they grumbled and they murmured against God. This was the fifth thing in Numbers 14, 1 to 4. And I'll just paraphrase it. But they, after receiving the report from the 12 spies, when they heard the evil report of the 10 spies that went into the land of Canaan, the scripture says that they began to cry the whole night. They raised their voice in concert. Let's look at it. Praise the Lord. And it's in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Instead of praying, instead of interceding, instead of making the request known to God, they wept and complained all night. Their voice rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted amongst themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. What's the problem here? These people don't learn. Time after time, God is showing up. It's not as though God is absent and leaving them in the wilderness. He is appearing to them. He is showing up through the way of provision, time after time. And the problem is they don't learn. They've been so trapped in a mind of ignorance. That slave mentality is still there and they want to go back. And so it's so important that we ensure that although we're baptized in Jesus' name, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, they were all baptized unto Moses in the sea and in the cloud, the spirit and the water. But yet they came out having the same mind, the same ignorant mind that was plagued by slavery. That even though they're on their way transitioning to the land of promise, they're saying, I don't want this anymore. I want to go back to my slavehood. I want to go back into the world. I want to go back and enjoy the relationships I had before. I want to go back and enjoy my life when I was earning six figures. I want to go back and enjoy my life when I could listen to whatever music I want to listen to, play whatever game I want to play, talk to whoever I want to talk to. I want to go back. And the mindset of the children of Israel is what enslaved them. It's that they did not receive the words of the Lord. And so Moses said to them constantly, diligently hearken. Let these words be in your heart. You cannot love the Lord with everything else and your heart is not there. It doesn't matter if you give your tithes. It doesn't matter if you give your time. It doesn't matter if you give your energy and you give your car and you give your hope. You must give your entire heart. It has to start in the heart. And so these people begin complaining. And they think the same way. Their pattern of thinking does not change. It's faulty thinking. How many of us continue to keep the same negative patterns of thinking? It's not going to work out for me. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get through this. They're not going to want me. This is not going to happen. Those same problems affected the minds of the children of Israel. Moses is not going to come back down. He's abandoned us. He's gone. Now we're here and we get a report. They bring evidence. They bring grapes, the cluster. They see how large the grapes are. They look upon it with their eyes. They have the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. They look upon it and then they say to themselves, no, we can't get there. We're not going to make it. They're going to destroy us in battle. We should just go back. And what happens every time you're in transition and decide to turn back? You always want to create your own way of escape. And so when God is carrying you through that test and through that temptation and promises to make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear what you're going through. The fleshly heart, the fleshly and the carnal mind says, no, I must create a leader for myself. I have to create my own way. I'm going to have to do this. I got to get an extra job. I have to make ends meet because the Lord is not going to do it for me. What are you thinking during your transition? Because not just your desires of cravings, it's not just the fleshly desires of the flesh, it's not just what you're speaking, but what are you thinking? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have to watch our thoughts. And as I now bring our minds to the place to see what was the result in transition, they died in the wilderness and their bodies were scattered. And it's so sad that they died having the promise, having everything, seeing the works of God. The scripture says that Joseph, who he died in Egypt, but yet he believed so much that the Lord was going to take them out of Egypt. He said, don't leave my bones here. And while these people are in the wilderness, in transition to their calling, in transition to their purpose and their destiny, they're desiring to go back into Egypt, to be buried in Egypt where they were slaves. They want to go back and die like slaves. But Joseph, who's in the land of Egypt and died in Egypt where the people were slaves, he's saying, I want to go to the free land. So take my bones with you. Don't leave my bones here. Carry my bones, because I know and I believe that we are going up into the land of Canaan. And I know that's where my father Jacob was buried. That's where they buried Isaac. And that's where they buried my great-grandfather Abraham. And they're going to bury me too. And so do we have the faith of our forefathers? Do we carry the same faith of the cloud of witnesses? Do we carry the faith of Paul? Do we carry the faith of Peter? Yet we read about them day after day. We look in the scriptures and see how they lived. But are we carrying that same faith? Are we carrying that same desire? And as we look at it, Joseph said, take me. Don't leave my bones here, because I must be buried in the land of promise. Because if I'm buried in the land of promise, I will resurrect. And so for someone today who is going through their transition process, you're going through a difficult time. Yes, things are falling apart. You're not seeing where the next meal will come from. You're not seeing how the next expense will be paid. But just say to yourself, I must get to the land. I must get to the finish line. I must receive all that God has for me. Although I can't see it with my flesh, yet I must be like Moses. The Bible says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Do we see the one who is invisible? The scripture says, having such a great cloud of witnesses around about us, let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What is it that you're looking at? It's what you're looking at in your transition that will guarantee or will predict or determine your finish. And so we must be focused on the finish line. Christ for us is the finish line. Christ, the hope of glory, is within us. And so when we are going through difficult times, we don't have to look to someone else. We can look to the finish line that's within us. The resurrected Christ is within us. The promise and hope of eternal life is within us. Look within to the Christ who has bought you, the Christ who has taken you out of sin, who has delivered you, and see that it is him that is going to carry you through your transition. Do not be lost in transition. And as I close, I encourage someone, don't be like Rachel. Don't be like Rachel, who was given an opportunity to make a clear escape from her father's house, from the place where she was in bondage. where her father treated her with such disdain, sold her sister, just for some money, just for some wealth. The enemy doesn't want you. He doesn't care about you. He wants you to die and go to hell just like him. He doesn't care about your soul. Stop chasing after the things of this world. You want to get into Hollywood. You want to get into videos. You want to get into all manner of different things. You want to be liked. You want to be the focus of attention. You want to be in clubs where you're admired. Forget about those things. That will only bring your demise. Rachel, when she had a clear path, decided to bring the idols of her father's household with her. And when Laban came looking for the idols, she had her moment to repent. God gave her a moment to repent in transition. Someone is receiving a moment of repentance right now during their transition. There's something that you need to let go of. There's something that you need to let go of. There's an idol that is killing you. There's an idol that you think is giving you life. Yes, your superstition may cause you to think that this is going to protect me on my way there. I need this because I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know how I'm going to get this job. I don't know how I'm going to get through this court case. And so I'm carrying this household idol. But God is saying, get rid of Laban's idols, because Laban's idols cannot go into Isaac's house. It can't get into the house of promise. It can't get into the house of prosperity, the place where I've called you to prosper. Jacob, look on your family. Do a search, Jacob. Don't just say they don't have anything. Do a search. Search out your tent before you get proud and think there's nothing. Let the soul of him die who has that idol. Before you do that, search diligently. Inquire, is there something happening? Yes, look, is there an Achan in the camp, Joshua? Joshua, you're being defeated. There's a reason your enemy is upon your neck. It's because you're carrying something that belongs to Kotorobokushata. What are you carrying that belongs to the enemy? Let go of it before it destroys you. And in transition, as she is giving birth, because she refused to give up that idol, because she refused to let go of the house of bondage, she died like a slave. She died giving birth, not having the wrong mindset, just like the children of Israel. We're going to die if we go there. She said, my son, I call Benoni, son of sorrow. But Jacob, who understand that in transition, I've got to keep my focus on the promise, he says, no, his name shall not be called son of sorrow, but son of my right hand, son of power. That's Jesus. While they were at his grave, they were sorrowing, they were crying, they were lamenting. Disciples were inside crying, can't sleep at night, so fearful, so broken. But somebody showed up to the tomb and says, why are you weeping? Why are you here weeping? Don't you realize he's not here? For he has risen, as he said, the son of sorrows, who was acquainted with grief, is the son of the right hand, the one who has all power in his right hand to destroy the powers of darkness and give life. It is him today who is saying to you, focus on me in your transition. And so I encourage someone today, during our transition, as we are moving forward, recognize that things are going to get difficult along the way. That some people are going to turn against you. Some family members are going to reject you. Those who are following Christ, you must suffer persecution. It's a must. So we must arm our minds, prepare our minds, just like Jesus. We're not focusing on the persecution. That's the problem. Too many are worried about the suffering. And when you're worried about suffering, the first convenient thought that comes to mind is comfort. And so why did the children of Israel cling to Egypt? Is because they would rather comfort than suffering. But in the midst of suffering, we must follow the model of Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured. There must be a joy. We must be focusing past the suffering. We're not looking at that as they're stoning your body, Stephen, as they're gnashing upon you with their teeth. I don't hear their words. I don't feel the stone. I'm looking to Jesus, who's standing at the right hand of God. I'm looking to the one who has all power. I'm looking to my heavenly country. I'm looking to the place that I'm going. I'm just a pilgrim here. You can kill this body. It's just a tent. That's why Jacob just built tents when he got into the land of promise. Abraham just built tents. He wasn't careful to even stay there, even though it was a promised land to him, because he said, I'm seeking a country whose builder and maker is God. I'm not looking to stay here too long. You can do what you want with my body. Bury me in a cave. I don't care. It's a borrowed cave. I bought it for a sum of money. It doesn't matter to me, because my focus is on the country above. Don't look for comfort in this life. Look for the promise of eternal life ahead. The transition is difficult, but don't be lost in transition. Cool, Shandaya. For someone today, you may be hearing these words and wondering, God, why is the way so difficult? Why is it so hard? The answer is given. We read this last scripture and close in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And verses 2-6, you may be asking, why, Lord? Why are you putting me through all of this? Shandaya, why can't I just get some relief? Why is it so hard? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years. Humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. The way is difficult, because God wants to see what is in your heart. Do you have an evil heart of unbelief that will cause you to fall? Or do you have that heart of faith that will endure? God says, I want to see what's in your heart before I'm going to endorse you or advertise you to the nations, before I'm going to show anyone else the works, my handiwork must be approved by me. No one puts out a product until they've tested it, lest there be a recall. And some products are recalled because they didn't test it enough. And so God will put you through as many tests as he needs to ensure that you will be able to stand the pressures of this life, to ensure that you be able to stand in the evil day, and that at the last day, you can stand before him and he can say, well done. And so don't be weary in well-doing. Don't faint. Don't murmur. Don't become distracted. But focus on the Lord and know that he's doing it. He's disciplining you to show his love. And he's attesting you to reveal his character in you. And it is through the character of Jesus Christ that we will prevail in our transition to the finish line, which is eternal life with Jesus. God bless you today. Receive the words.
hear them and allow them to sink into your hearts. Don't be lost in transition, because the Lord says that he came to seek and to save those who were lost, so that you can transition well, get to the finish line, and trust the Lord that he is all you need to prevail. God bless you all. In Jesus' name.